We out here with Bindle Boys.
Bindle Boys, episode 2.
Episode 2.
Yeah, dude. We're making this official now.
Alright, so we had this idea, when was it? Back in Philly, driving home.
3-4 weeks ago?
3-4 weeks ago, yeah, I would say. And we're just sitting in the car, and then we thought, oh, maybe it'd be a good idea if we started up a podcast, and now we're here.
Yeah.
So, do you want to tell the folks what we've been up to since that first podcast in Philly?
Yeah, so Philly was a really fun trip. Got to go see Slender Bodies, shout out. There'll be a video.
Yeah, that was our first time meeting Max and Ben. Shout out to you guys. You guys did amazing. Good stage presence. Andy and I were talking in the car driving up here, and we were just really impressed with how well Max and Ben have improved in such a short amount of time. They released their first song, Gray, on their Sotto Voce album.
Voce?
I don't even know. Soto, but you guys Soto check Voce. It out and let us know.
Yeah, where
they're on Spotify.
No, what I was saying is that like their stage presence made the concert that much better. Like,
yeah, definitely.
They sounded just as good as they did recorded, but seeing them just having so much fun on the stage was awesome.
So much energy, really.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. So what we've been up to recently, just dropped our first hoodie line. Well, official hoodie line. Mm-hmm. Got two new styles. We
got the Hobo Randy, which is right here.
Yeah, we got this this butte
right here with the bindle for the eyes, and just like a basic face shape.
And then the other one, it's got that original logo on the front, and then it's got what's the name? Yeah. What's the thing on the back? You there's like a name for it.
Like an insignia.
Insignia. It says BHHB on the back.
Created by yours truly, Andy Badula.
But yeah, check those out. We'll be posting those in a couple weeks, or probably in a week. I just need pictures, really. Yeah. Other than that, we've been filming, making a lot of new content, just trying to work on our filming and
get our skills
overall,
up.
Overall, giving you
increase
all,
in the talent tree.
You all better content, So that's basically what we've been up to with this.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking forward to the days to come.
Yeah, so basically like what these segments are going to be about is just like where we're at and in the process of Boho Hobo, as well as just talking about the human experience and life that is happening throughout the process of going through Boho Hobo. I mean, what we're trying to represent is the Boho Hobo lifestyle, which is just basically how we live our lives already, and really just trying to find the answers and meaning of why we're here in this world, really, to get deep.
Yeah, we were actually just talking about this, that essentially we had been doing this kind of stuff since high school, before high school, but we never thought we were doing anything out of the ordinary.
Yeah, so there's this one summer, when was it?
2014. Right when I graduated.
Okay, yeah, and that was the summer after my first year in college.
Yeah.
Andy and I, we started hanging out a lot more, and we started learning different skills, like slacklining, trampolining tricks. We learned how to sew because we got interested in making 5-panel hats. They were trending at that point in our lives. Big in like the skating action sports community. So during that time, we were gaining a lot of like self-awareness. So learning new skills.
Yeah, you know? I think we just kind of got bored with, I don't know. I think in the summer, especially like during high school and stuff, a lot of time we would just spend time doing nothing, like growing up.
And we wanted to start getting more productive.
Yeah, we were, I don't know. We've never been people to sit still, so.
Mm-hmm. We started experimenting with different things.
And it helps. I mean, we live in the same neighborhood, so I was able to just walk to your house. You would skate down to my house and we just mm-hmm. mess around. But honestly, like, this story is great. And I think it's something that should be documented. Just that we went from making these 5-panel hats and then we just kept taking it a little bit farther and a little bit farther. Like, mm-hmm. we made the pocket tees and then we started getting into the graphics. Like, all right, how do we want this to look? And it just kind of, yeah. I don't know.
So it's to see the bigger picture of all this. What do you think allowed us to get to the point that we're at now?
I think a lot of it has to do with Kaya Outerwear, to be honest. That's the name of that original.
We had an original clothing line back in 2014 where we were making hats, 5-panel hats, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I just think it's the idea, like, that we got the experience of making that stuff.
We were experimenting and learning new skills and learning marketing.
We had like a makeshift website and everything. So mm-hmm. Instagram, we were learning. This is like when Instagram started to become a big influencer in like digital marketing and companies out there now, like any movement, like mm-hmm. Instagram's a big thing with the visuals. And I think that kind of helped out with our interest in making more like videos and pictures and stuff like that.
Trying to capture art and put it in a way that is trying to find, I don't know how to explain it. So we have all these different activities that we like doing, and Boho Hobo is just a way for us to kind of capture all of those different things in our lifestyle and use it in a way that can bring value to other people and create a community around that lifestyle that we're already living.
All right, so to bring it back to your question, so I think doing the K Outerwear got us the sense of, like, all right, how do we make the clothing, like, the logistics behind doing that stuff? Are we capable of doing this stuff? And mm-hmm. that business side of it. And then when we took time, well, it was like a couple years off in between that and this starting. I got to go to college. You were in college for a couple more years. So you were in college for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I was in college for 2. Like, just the maturing and, I don't know, it was kind of like a culture shock for me. Mm-hmm. Coming from Phoenix, New York, like, I graduated a class of 148 kids. And I think the only ethnicities other than white people were 2 mixed families and you and Brian, who were Korean. Mm-hmm.
Adopted Korean.
So, like, yeah. I was never around, like, other cultures and stuff mm-hmm. like that, other ideas other than Phoenix.
And then going to college.
And going to college, I go to UAlbany.
Open your mind a little bit.
90% of the people are from Long Island or New York City. So we're talking like every ethnicity you could ever, and plenty of foreign exchange students from like mm-hmm. China, Japan, Korea. There's one of my best friends now, Ugin, he's from Nepal. So, like, it's completely changed my viewpoint on everything I do now. I'm influenced by so many other things. So I think having that coming in helped.
Yeah, you're gaining a new sense of perspective.
When I do my day-to-day stuff, I have so many different ideas in my head.
Mm-hmm,
I don't know, it helped me realize how much bigger the world is than just little Phoenix, New York, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. So, like, the more perspective, the more things you do in your life, the more information that you can draw from, you have more to access. And you can use that information to make it your own and, like, put it into a medium that allows you to create your own style, create your own kind of sense of purpose in that. And so I think the more things you expose yourself to, the more you'll have access to different outlets of creativity in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, I mean, growing up, like, skiing, for example, we used to make ski edits, and that had always been something that was interesting to me. Like, not even just the making, the shooting the videos, but it was the editing part that got me so interested in it. And mm-hmm. now that we have this we've built this platform, it has just enhanced my level of interest in doing that stuff.
Greater sense of purpose as to why you're doing the things you're doing.
I have like a greater sense of purpose and a more of a drive to like want to learn this skill. Just for, I mean, for example, tonight we came out to Ian's house to help his band Oogle, shout out, to make a video of, you know, like a music video of sorts for a show that they're doing, and doesn't really have anything directly to do with what we're doing, but we're able to somehow connect it to what we're doing. And yeah, you know, we were filming for them, but it's still like a part of our lives, so it's a part of Boho Hobo, you know.
Exactly.
It's just like helping out other artists, other people doing their own thing outside the box, kind of thing. Yeah.
Definitely.
And so, I don't know. Just,
I think the big thing that we kind of have gathered from this talk is that this idea of trying to find that overarching sense of purpose as to why you're here on this earth, and then trying to, and then for instance, like what we're trying to do is I'm gonna go off on a tangent right now, but
yeah, go for it, I'm all ears.
Like the message of Boho Hobo is trying to learn what it means to go through the human experience, and like that's what we're doing right now. We're just going through the human experience, and since our message is so broad, we're able to find different things to apply that might not at first seem related, but we're able to connect it to that overarching goal.
It's kind of nice. Like, I think before this, I would, I don't know, I guess I didn't go through life thinking about each moment as being something impactful to me unless something monumental happened. And ever since this has happened, when you know how I was saying, like, you said that you think Boho Hobo like 24/7. Whenever you're doing something, it's on your mind, and how it's kind of taken me some time to get there. Now I'm going around, whether it's school or not, and I'm starting to take little moments in my life and apply it to this and find purpose in every little thing I'm doing, whether it's my classes now. Like I'm participating so much more in my classes this semester, mind you, it's my last semester of college, and every teacher knows my name, and it's the first time in college that any of my teachers have known my name. I don't know why, I just like found this drive, and now I'm just like finding more purpose in the things I'm doing, and being able to apply it to like what we're doing with Boho Hobo, which is just,
what would you say your purpose in Boho Hobo is?
I mean, other than, you know, helping to build the brand and the message and everything, is just impacting people's lives in a positive way, and showing them that, one, anyone is capable of doing what we're doing. Like, we're not doing anything that outlandish, right? Like, anyone could sit down with a friend or even by themselves, come
we're
up with
that idea.
We're
just taking initiative.
Yeah, we took the initiative to do that. So one, this is like to anyone who thinks that they can't do it or wants to do something, like, you can totally do that. Two is just, I think we have such a good, like, you know, think about how many times we've told someone what we're about and had them be like, yo, I really love what you guys are about. Like, I love the aesthetic. I love the mission. I love the videos, everything. It's great. Like, that makes me feel so much better on a day-to-day basis, knowing that someone actually genuinely likes what we're doing and cares about what we're doing. That like right there, that means so much. And I feel like my purpose is to get more people to feel that way, not only about us, but to feel that our message is actually speaking to them, that they can go out and do something new and exciting.
So this is like a platform to inspire other people.
Right. Yeah. Like, we're inspiring, like, we inspire potential. Ourselves every day. When we do something new, we get excited, we make a new video, whatever it is, like little things that to, like, say, for example, a big company, give me a name of like some big company.
Like Young and Reckless.
Right. All right. So Yeah, Young and Reckless. They post stuff on Instagram all the time, right? And they probably get thousands of views, but they're not jumping out of their pants whenever they do something, right? They're like, whatever, it's another day at the office. For me, I just posted a video 5 hours ago and it got like 300 views and I'm like ecstatic for the day. I feel like I did something great. Mm-hmm. And to a big company, that's literally not even good. So like, I don't know. It's just, it's different for us. And I like that. We're not trying to just make it a company. It's more than that.
It's like we're cherishing all the little moments and all the little steps it takes to get to where we want to be. Yeah, it's our
life. And we're in our 20s, early 20s.
We're not taking anything for advantage.
Yeah.
Taking
like,
anything
I'm 22,
for granted.
I'm 22, and every day, every moment is something that I'll never get back. So I'm just here to take in as I've finally I'm sad it took me so long to realize, but like I'm finally starting to cherish each little moment I have and trying to find some purpose out of it or something I can gain to move forward and make myself better and make this better, make my connections with people better, all that kind of stuff.
Cool. So I've been studying Maslow's theory of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Lately.
Welcome to business school.
Are you familiar with it at all?
Dude, I've learned Maslow's and like every basic marketing management class.
Okay,
like,
so interesting. So I'm learning it from like a philosophical, psychological point of view.
Yeah.
So as a business major, how are you learning Maslow's?
In terms of marketing, it's all about what the needs, so we look at it in a psychological way as well, but it's about what the consumer is looking for and how you can apply your product or service to those needs in the pyramid.
Okay, so let's start with the pyramid. You have the base foundation, which is your physiological needs, so basic things like food, water,
right?
And then you have your next step, which is sense of safety. Next one would be relationships, love. Next one up would be esteem, self-esteem. And then after that, if you've accomplished all of those levels, then you should reach the last step, which is self-actualization.
Right. So
self-actualization in the business world would be...
Well, so you can apply it in two ways. So one way you can apply it is like to you working in marketing, or you can apply it to the consumer and how they would apply what you're offering to those needs subconsciously.
Okay. Could you give me an example?
So like a consumer is going to look like at all those things and see where your product or service lies in the importance of needs, right?
Okay.
Like, so physiological is like most important.
So for us with we're selling clothes, so that would reach the foundational physiological
it's more
needs
of a basic
Maslow's.
Need but we're also offering more now. We're starting to offer more. We're offering, you know, audio content, visual content, so now
that might move itself up to more of the self-esteem portion of the pyramid.
Something that you can feel that you're a part of more than just like wearing the clothes
or the relationship.
Or even the relationship. I mean, we meet people all the time and they feel like they're connected to us. Mm-hmm. They say they're our friend or whatever, which I genuinely have made a lot of friends doing
through
this.
Boho,
so like,
so a lot of interesting people for sure.
And you know, even the stuff that we're talking about moving in the future, like more and more we're going to gain in those needs for at least for the consumer.
Yeah, hopefully. And the more we provide, the more value we bring to the community, hopefully that'll inspire people to have their basic needs met so they can reach that self-actualization phase of Maslow's hierarchy.
That right there, that's the purpose.
Do you feel like we as, whatever you want to call it, do you think have ever achieved
self-actualization? I don't think so, at least not for me. I don't think I've... self-actualized yet.
Well, first let's define what
self-actualization.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel
you
like
that would be.
I feel like that personally is when you know what you're about. You know who you are, what you have to offer.
Okay.
And you know how other you know how the world perceives you as well.
You know yourself enough to the point where
you don't have any question. You have no question about what you are, the things you need, the things you want, the things you can offer.
You're kind of at peace within the world.
You are just, you have finally figured it out. Like, think about it when you went into college. Think about how much you
going
changed.
Into that new community. Well, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Like that change means that you weren't self-actualized yet, because clearly you've changed to be something more like the way you're supposed to be.
And your perspective on yourself probably has changed too, like, throughout that.
When I was a sophomore in high school, I used to dress like a dweeb. I was just, I don't know. I changed a lot in like 2 years, from like sophomore year to senior year. My style changed. My sense of music changed, everything. So I was still figuring it out. And even now, looking back to senior year till senior year of college now, completely different. So
but
I'm still
changing. I think the best thing that helped us in figuring out what we're all about is by breaking away from the pack a little bit. Going off that separate, you know, beaten route. That I think that is really what is like very valuable in trying to figure yourself out, because now you don't have any external factors guiding your decision making, or even the something simple as like the way you dress. If you kind of break away from the norm, then you start developing your own style.
Like Kevin proved that to everyone, and especially in Phoenix.
Shout
like,
out to Kevin Borza.
Yeah, Kevin Borza. He's like the first person I knew that just wore whatever the fuck he wanted. I mean, not like he was wearing anything like absurdly out of the normal, but he had a very distinct style and everyone knew it.
Yeah, definitely.
And I remember people would say stuff about him or say stuff to him, and I knew it like bothered him at first or whatever, but over time he just got over it and didn't care. And that definitely rubbed
took
off.
Bravery.
I mean, that rubbed off on our, you know, that
our friend group. Yeah, definitely.
And that changed. Yeah, like Kevin trendsetted. Even though it was like for a small group, you know, there's four of us and then you came along afterwards. But like, you look at what he left behind afterwards. Not us, but like kids in like grades below him started wearing certain things that he was wearing like all along.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's just like,
he kind of inspired the community a little bit.
He literally put his middle finger up and he said, "I don't care." And we all did the same thing, and that changed me, because now I do that all the time. I don't care. I'll wear whatever the hell I want. I'll do whatever I want.
And that's all it took was one person to be like, fuck it, I'm going to do what I want.
That's the thing. I was kind of trying to conform to being like everyone else, but I think it's just like a societal thing that everyone just kind of goes with the flow.
Yeah.
And
definitely. You get pigeonholed to think only certain
way. This is actually funny, because this is very much when we were in Chicago back probably like half a year ago, and we were talking with Nate with the Lucky Dutch. He said the same thing. Like, you get pigeonholed into doing what society wants you to do. And the best thing you could do for yourself is to say, fuck that. I want to do me. And I don't care what anyone thinks, and I'm going to do me, and I'm going to feel better about myself and find who I am and not be someone I'm not. And that's what I've been doing. I mean, college helped me do that a lot. Like, I started it with my clothes, I would say, and hanging out with the right people in high school towards the end. But now it's like I had 4 years to really find who I am, and I'm getting there. I still don't think I've self-actualized, but I'm getting there. I don't think, does anyone actually fully just like...
I was looking at statistics, and they were saying that only 1% of the population can actually reach self-actualization, which is kind
that's
of
insane.
Insane.
That's insane. Like, that's what I mean. Like,
it's like what everyone's,
you know,
striving to do
is?
And no one can ever reach it.
How?
But there is still that 1% of hope that you
can. So you're saying
you
there's a
it.
Chance.
There is always a chance.
I don't know, though. I kind of like...
Do you think you'll realize it when you reach it, though?
That's a good question. I don't know. And the other thing is, I was thinking, wouldn't it be kind of boring once you've self-actualized? Like,
because once you do it, then you know exactly what you need to do to get where you want to be. Or like, you've already gotten there, you know?
I kind of... As much as it is, you know, like a roller coaster, life for anyone is a roller coaster, and there's ups and downs everywhere. It's kind of fun when you find something new about yourself you didn't know.
True,
or
definitely.
Something yeah. like something you didn't know you liked, or something you didn't know scared you, or any of that kind of stuff.
It's all part of the human experience.
Yeah, like I don't know if I kind of like, would you want to self-actualize, like find that self-actualization, or would you kind of like
it's kind of
the mystery to kind of keep unfolding? Yeah.
It's kind of like with the Buddha, where he finds enlightenment and then he's like, oh well, I have no point in living anymore.
Yeah, like what, once you reach that moment of Zen, like what's the point of existence when you've already like, if that's the point of life is to find the purpose of your life, once you find it, what are you supposed to do?
True. I mean, kind of life is a struggle, and that's what keeps it interesting.
Yeah,
that's what keeps us going.
I like not knowing what the hell yeah. I'm here for. I have a pretty strong feeling that I have no purpose here. I'm just making it up as I go. And
definitely we kind of create our own purpose.
We just made, like, yeah, we just made up a purpose right now to do this, and honestly it's better than the alternative of not doing this. So I mean, that's something I realized.
Yeah, we're just doing it because we're having fun doing it, and we figured out a way to bring value to the community.
Yeah.
In doing so.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
I can't, I'm really, I think one big thing I'm excited about is just down the line. I've been doing a lot of, you know, watching those Gary Vee videos. It's like that 5-year window, 5 to 10 year window. I keep saying, all right, I can't wait for 5 years down the line. Yeah. Like see where we are, see what's going to happen. And he's, you know, he's right a lot in terms of like what he looks for in his work is like just riding the journey. I look back, it's been a year and it feels like it's been a freaking millennia since we started this. So much stuff has happened in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And after this year, it's going to feel like even longer, you know,
compared to like, let's say high school, you know, that felt like you're going through the day to day processes and it gets very mundane.
Yeah.
And you look back and a year's gone by and you've only done so many things you can count on your fingers, you know what I mean? So yeah, this is definitely just a good experience.
It's it's going well, and I honestly think that there's only up from here, you know?
Yeah.
Think about
as
right
long
now,
as we keep doing it.
Yeah, I mean, A year from now, backwards, so let's go back in the past, I couldn't have told you that we would have vended at a music festival.
Mm-hmm.
That,
shout out to Otis Mountain.
Yeah, Otis Mountain Get Down. That we'd be doing a podcast right now. That we would have, a YouTube page needs work, but that we would have a functional YouTube page. Like, any of this stuff, I don't know, it just kind of happened, you know?
It just, all it took was someone to take the initiative, be like, oh, let's do it, and we're doing it.
Yeah.
It's not like we had to jump through any hoops to be able to do this podcast, for instance.
No.
We just got a camera, chilling. Got some mics,
yeah.
And having a good
it's
talk,
great.
Really.
So, like, that, but that's the point I'm saying is, a year from now, what are we going to be doing a year from now? Like, what?
Where do you see us in a year from now?
You know, like, think about all those things I just pointed out that we did that I never thought we would be doing. In a year from now, there's going to be that many more things that we've done that I didn't think we would have ever accomplished.
What
do
they call it? An exponential growth curve?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what it is, I guess. Like,
yeah, and usually the point, I forget the statistic, I think is saying that the hardest year when you start up a business is on the fifth year. Like, that's a determining year on whether or not you keep going, make it or break it. But it's almost like on that fifth year, that's when you're actually starting. That's when you actually have kind of figured out your business model. And that's where the growth actually starts beginning. But that's when people are so prone to just quitting at that point.
Because that's
when they burn themselves out.
What makes us different from everyone else? Write this down, kiddos that want to start something new. This is all built on our lifestyle,
we're already doing it. We can't run away from it.
We're not, we didn't sit down one day and say, I have a great idea. I want to make the next best, like recycling bin or what, you know, like a random product that, that
just to sell
just to sell it. Right. If that's all you do in 5 years, unless it is an absolute commodity, hot commodity, you're probably not going to do well.
Right.
So that's the thing. I'm not afraid of that 5 year window because I literally think that this is just going to go. It's not going
to
stop.
It can't stop because if it stops, we have to just stop what we're doing in our life. Yeah. As long as we keep living our life to the fullest and doing the things that we want that bring us joy, you know, it's going to keep living on.
If we didn't do this, you and I would probably be just doing what most people are going to do. Are going to graduate and then they're going to go work for someone for the rest of their life.
Well, like 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, like I don't want that. Maybe I'm going to have to do that for the next couple of years after I graduate just to stay financially stable, but
it's all a stepping stone.
Whatever, you know, everyone has to earn their stripes. They have to, you know, they have to do the grind to get by, but don't worry, in 10 years, I'll give it a 10-year window that we will be self-sufficient doing this full time. 10 years,
and that's the goal,
dude.
Really,
we'll be in our early, we'll be 32. That's like, how many 32-year-olds have a full self-sustaining company that they can live on and they know that that's what they're going to do for the rest of their life? Not many. Not many. Probably, I'm sure it would be surprising how low this, like, the percent of people. 10%, Kevin says. Which is probably higher than what it actually is. Oh, 10 people. Oh, okay. Not a lot. I mean, I'm pretty sure that I don't know the exact numbers,
okay,
but the statistic for people to make it past that 5 year window and not fail is really, really low.
Okay. So to help other people in their process, what do you think the biggest thing we can draw from this to be able, like you were saying, we figured out what brought us joy in our life. We figured out like all the little things that we want to do. That we already don't really want to get monetary value from. It just already intrinsically brings us value in itself.
Right.
So it's figuring out what you already want to do.
Yeah.
And then the money is just extra because it allows you to sustain what you already want
to
do.
It's hard. So it's hard. It's hard. This message won't reach. It won't speak to everyone the same way because definitely, you know, not. I'm surrounded by people at school right now that their mind is on money. I want to make money, 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 money. That's it. I care about money. I'm going to do whatever.
Money is important though.
Great. You know what? Great. Like I respect that hustle. And if you can go out there and make money, tons of money, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other ways of making money where you still find happiness and other more important values, that money is not the most important thing. If you think that is, like, you don't have a personality at all. Because money is literally what is wrong with the world, I think. But it's important, right? You can't do most anything, especially
money
in this
allows
country.
You to do what
money
you want to do.
Money is just a medium to doing things that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not life. And I think that is something people get twisted, but it's fine. If that's what you want to do, go make money. Great. Go do that. If you want to be successful and do something that will last a long time, it needs to come from the heart and it needs to be more than just your motive is just to make money. Because if that's all it is, you're going to run out of the juice, the creativeness, all of that. It's going to,
because your mind is just focused on,
you're going to start, people are going to start to resent you because you're penny pinching and you're trying to get as much money to put in your pockets and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, put yourself into it, make it your baby, like make it something you want to watch grow and nurture into something.
Yeah.
Bigger than just a company. I mean, we didn't start this because we were like, oh, I want to sell some shirts and make money. Like if we did that, we would have gotten bored with it probably a long time ago.
We started out saying, oh, we want to make hats. We want to make clothing as a hobby. because we thought it was fun to do.
Yeah, we thought it was cool.
And then we're like, oh, well, now we can sell it too. Okay, cool. Let's do that.
Yeah, and then we realized that other people actually...
It's like an added factor into
other people
it, but
were
it's
like,
not
oh,
the-
this is really cool. Like, why'd you guys start doing that? And then we had a story to tell why we did it. It was more than... Our story wasn't even we started this because we wanted to make money and we wanted to make a company. It was never about that. Mm-hmm. And so reflecting to Boho Hobo, it was like we just were like, we want to offer people something that's just not there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to
there's not enough of it.
To go
there.
Back to the mission of why we're doing this, to experience what it means to be human, to live the human experience to the fullest. I mean, that's what we're doing right now. And that's why we wanted to start making clothing to begin with, was because we were just curious. We wanted to know what it took to be able to make our own five-panel hats. We were interested in just learning the process of sewing. And I think when you approach the world in that kind of way, you start figuring out what truly brings joy in your life, instead of having that mission of just, oh, I want to make $20, $500
yeah,
this week.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we're totally, like, there's still a hustle and a grind to what we do.
It's definitely hard work.
But
yeah.
It's not, everything we do isn't in the mindset of how can I make a dollar off you or the next person that comes around or whatever.
It's more like
what new skill can we acquire? And when I do meet a new person, how can I convey what I'm doing to them? So not only do they see that, okay, there is something, like there is some type of good or service that they can get from us, but like they can get a message, something that might speak to them and make them do, even if they don't buy anything. I don't care if the next 10 people I meet that come up to me when I'm tabling or something, they don't buy anything. As long as they walk away with a sense of something that is thought provoking and makes them think about things a little bit differently about the way they approach their life. That's great, because that's just like
that inspires
the whole
people.
Helping humanity part of what we're about is like, I just want people to have the right mindset out there to go do what they want to do, and to know that like life isn't this sheep following the mold. Kind of like the American dream is dead, like get over it, it's dead, and you should go out and find and forge your own path.
What is the American dream? Just getting a lot of money? Is that what you think?
Like the American dream back in the 1950s, like right after World War II, it was just about having that, you know, picturesque family, couple kids, three kids, white picket fence, living in a neighborhood, all that kind of stuff, having like a full 9-to-5 job, you and your wife or whatever. It's not there anymore. Like, think times have changed. Mm-hmm. People.
So it's just a traditional view.
It's a very traditional view. And I think things have changed a lot. I mean, the divorce rate in this country is just ridiculous compared to what it used to be. I mean, so like, go find yourself, and if you can work for yourself and do something that's going to keep you financially stable and keep you happy, do that. Don't chase something that's not there. Don't chase the corporate ladder is great if you know people, or if you literally spend the rest of your life busting your ass to prove it to a bunch of people that probably didn't have to do much to get where they were. Like, a lot of people in corporate America are where they are in the hierarchy because they knew someone when they kissed the ass. I'm not about that. I'm not trying to kiss someone's ass who doesn't care about me. I'd rather do...
You're trying to be self-made.
I just want to be myself. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to prove... I don't need to prove myself to other people to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a sad state of affairs in this country. And
even like the definition of success, I think, has been skewed over the
yeah. What
the
it,
years
what is success
of,
to you?
Well, I think the idea of bringing value into this world, and value in a way that is genuine, that's success, and not how much money you have in your wallet. I think success can be measured by the skills that we provide. I think a lot of it has to do with human services. So, you know, you have the skill and you have a way, even something as small as mowing lawns, for instance. If you're the best lawn mower in your neighborhood, like, that's value right there. That's something you can provide to other people. And the more skillful we become in our hobbies and our trades and our talents, and I think the more we figure out what it is that makes us tick and figuring out what that talent is that we can offer, the more valuable the community in general can become.
Yeah. I think the one important thing, and I'll tie this to my, first of all, I don't think there's a correct answer for what success is. I think success can come in so many different ways that I don't think there's one right or wrong answer. But I know in terms of my human experience and what most people would probably agree with is that being connected to the ones around you or to around people. People like to be around people and to be connected and have relationships with other people. We're just a social being, mm-hmm. right?
I think that's just human nature to want to feel like you belong in something.
And I think what this is very similar to your view of success is that if I have people around me who respect me and who see me as someone who has given and help selflessly, not looking for attention or anything. And I'm also doing this stuff. I'm giving and I'm helping people out and I'm just being a good person and helping people see things differently and teaching and maybe teaching someone how to learn a new trade, how to edit a video, whatever it is. Make them feel good, make their day. Mm-hmm. Like, when take a picture of a friend who just like bought a hoodie and put it up on the Instagram page, that might light their day up. That might make their day. Like, just simple things like that. I think that's success. Like, when I'm happy and they're happy, everyone's happy kind of thing.
So to bring it back to society's views, I think the reason why success gets skewed is that we see successful people have a lot of money, but they don't see the reasons behind why they are getting all this money. And like, for instance, Elon Musk, for instance, he's a billionaire. We see, oh, he's a billionaire, he has this big company, he made a lot of money, but then they don't realize, oh, well, like, what did he do? He changed humanity. He was the first person to be able to like have his own private company, to be able to have a spaceship launch into space and then come back down and be able to be run again, you know? And that's very valuable to humanity's sake. And like, that's why he is a billionaire. Not because he was a good...
You know, he didn't swindle people. Like, Elon Musk is a great example because, just so you know, Tesla has a deficit. Like, their company doesn't make money right now. Mm-hmm. Like... And he's still a billionaire. Like, he's still successful because his ideas, it takes time. Time is such a huge element in all this stuff. And people are impatient. And he's not, I guess. He believes in the stuff he does. And I think part of that success is believing in what you do, that it means something. And that's that good. That it is going to be something. He believes in it.
He's going. Even in that deficit, he's still able to keep going.
Yeah.
Like, because he's trying to shoot for the mission of bettering humanity.
Notice how no one's talking about, oh, how crap, like, Tesla's such a bad company. Like, who would buy their cars, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Or SpaceX is such a stupid idea. Like, NASA is always going to be better. Mm. No one's, saying that.
Yeah. I mean, at first they were saying that.
Well, people were skeptical at first, but, like, he's proving himself just by... Mm-hmm. making things. And yes, he might be in the hole on it, but he's still alive. He's still doing it.
Like, his reasoning for going in there wasn't to make a lot of money, not to be like the best business
He's an inventor.
He's an inventor at heart, and he was trying to bring something of value to provide to humanity's sake and change the face of our planet, you know what I mean? So, like, that was his mission, and he keeps doing it, and that's what got him through that struggle, that terrible deficit, to come back at it even stronger because he wasn't in it for the money.
You want to, just like a side fun fact, he has a company called The Boring Company. It's just like a side, I don't know. He has like a lot of different things. He also was the co-creator of PayPal, fun fact.
No, he actually started it and then his brother took it over.
Oh, okay. And then they sold it and made a shit ton of money.
But so that was a whole new idea. So if you invented something new.
This company, The Boring Company, so they invented or they made their own flamethrower. Mm-hmm. And they just sold out all 20,000 flamethrowers in like a month.
I think I saw that on Instagram.
It's pretty awesome. Like, just random. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, he probably just did that as a joke. I don't know. But he's successful.
He wanted to do something different.
He can do what he wants now. Yeah. Like, and I don't even think, like, and that's just one form of success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
there, Gandhi was successful, and Gandhi wasn't rich.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. It's just about what you perceive as value and achievement, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
All right, so you want to wrap this thing up?
We've been talking for a while. This is good. It's good to know that we can do this.
I mean, to see the bigger picture of the whole theme of what we've been talking about. I mean, we talk about success and, like, sense of purpose. And I think the better sense of purpose you have in this world, you'll just... success is bound to happen.
Success is bound to happen.
Because you're doing what you want to do.
There's so many cliches about this kind of stuff, and I feel like people hear it and they don't do anything about it, but it's really just take initiative
and do something new.
Do
something, yeah.
Like, find something that you think is interesting or that you might like and try it, because who knows, it might be the thing that you do for the next 10 years of your life. Like, you never know. And too many people sit and watch other people do it, and they continue to do the same things day in and day out. And that is how you get pigeonholed into society's, like, framework.
9 to 5 or whatever it is. Yeah.
Don't let society pigeonhole you. That's my takeaway from that, is don't let society, like, everyone has the same ability to stray.
Everyone has a
that.
Special ability.
Everyone is unique.
And
you
it's
are
up to all of
self.
Us to figure out how to unlock that special
There is
ability.
Only one of you, and that means you are the most unique person. So do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, figure it out. We figured it out. You can figure it out. And I think that's a great gift.
Word.
So,
peace.
Cheers.
Yeah, we're going to sign off here. Thanks for listening. And catch us next time on Bindle Boys Podcast.
Yeet.
Let's get it.